So some words from those readings. For Peter's speech to the crowds in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away. And from the account of the disciples meeting Jesus on the Emmaus Road, their eyes were holden, but they should not know him. This lovely account of the encounter on the Emmaus Road is set in a common worship lectionary for today, the third Sunday of Eastertide, second Sunday after Easter itself. In the Book of Common Prayer lectionary, as you've seen, it's set for a communion service on Easter Monday, which was perhaps more widely observed in 1662 than it is now. So let's take the opportunity of a newer lectionary to ponder on this wonderful passage. I've read it, of course, from the King James Version, so it might be worth elucidating a couple of details. First, we're told that Emmaus was 60 furlongs from Jerusalem, 60 furlongs, about 7.5 miles, perhaps 2.5 hours walk at a good pace on a reasonable road, a definite journey, not an afternoon stroll. And then we hear the graphic but perhaps unfamiliar phrase that when Jesus came alongside the disciples, their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. Their eyes were holden. It's a phrase taken straight from William Tyndale's translation of 1526. The Greek word actually has the meaning of as if something had taken possession of them, as if the disciples were held back by something outside themselves from seeing Jesus clearly. But they soon realize that something momentous is happening. It's still Easter day. Visualize those two disciples talking as they walk, going over and over the events of that last intense week, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the tension with the authorities in the temple, the awfulness of the betrayal and crucifixion, the dead emptiness of the Sabbath. And now the women's strange accounts of the empty tomb. What does it all mean? Perhaps we wish we knew more. Who were these two disciples? One is named Cleopas. It's the only time he appears in the Gospels, although John tells us of Mary, the wife of Cleopas, who stood with Mary, the mother of Jesus, near the cross. Who is the second? Some commentators suggest it might have been this Mary, Cleopas's wife. It's an attractive suggestion in some ways, but I wonder if it had been her, wouldn't she have given more credence to the reports of the women who had been to the tomb that morning? I just wonder if it might even have been Luke himself, anonymously recording his own little part in these amazing events. But that's a purely Pauler theory, so I've not read it elsewhere. But we can be sure that they were members of the wider community following Jesus. Already his followers were many more than just the 12 apostles. Not recognizing, they simply wonder why he doesn't seem to know what they're talking about as they walk along, looking sad. What things? He asks. He gives them the opportunity to let it all out, all over again. All their dashed hopes, all their disappointment. And then he explains, puts it all together for them. They reach their destination, but they don't want to lose him. Come and eat with us. Was this their home? We don't know. It certainly was not his. Yet he takes the initiative at supper, takes, blesses, and breaks the bread. And their eyes were opened, and he vanished from their sight. They rush all the way back to Jerusalem, find the others together, now themselves convinced the Lord has appeared to Simon. They swap experiences. It is true. And soon afterwards, he will appear to them all. It's a special moment. Can we take heart from that Emmaus road, trusting that Jesus will be by our side, even though we do not see him? Trusting that we can pour out all our anxieties, our woes, and know that he will listen and has the answer. But he has set all things right through the cross and put us right with God. And these cowed, scared disciples will be transformed by the resurrection and by the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost, no longer missing the point, no longer afraid or sad, but able to speak with authority and truth. The promise is for you, says Peter, to the crowds in Jerusalem. The promise is for us too, and for all generations. God has given all power to Jesus, the Lord and Messiah. On the day of Pentecost, about 3,000 people in Jerusalem were baptized. That was a turning point for them, and a step on the road for the growing little church. The encounter on the Emmaus Road was a turning point for Cleopas and his companion. The birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is the turning point of history. May it be our turning point too. And may Jesus be known to us this morning and always in the breaking of the bread. Amen.